You're listening to WRFG Atlanta, 89.3 FM, your station for progressive information.
And this is Alternative Perspectives, produced by Betty Couvetier, and contributions by Andre Holmes, Dion Bates, LaCara Foster, and Ghetto Gospel. Alternative Perspectives is the voice of the GLBTIQ community and our allies, the focus being the issues that affect the GLBTIQ community, social, economic, religious, and political, to educate and inform about the lives of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersexed, queer, and questioning community, and find the common humanity that connects us all.
Opinions expressed on WRFG do not necessarily represent the opinions of Radio Free Georgia Broadcasting Foundation, Inc., its staff, or volunteers.
Carpintero, tus manos que crean cosas en madera, obras de una calidad universal, no se pueden imitar porque son cosas de Dios.
Good evening. You are listening to WRFG's Alternative Perspectives. I'm Dion Bates. In tonight's She Speaks segment, LaCara Foster will talk with Shay Johnson of Erotically Speaking, Gorgeous of Pandora's Box, and DJE, all promoters in the lesbian community. Are they uniting or backbiting? Andre Holmes will talk with poet L. Lamar Wilson during our Pride in Politics segment, and Ghetto Gospel will give us a gay marriage update. As always, we will have Sovo News with Diana Bagby, and much, much more. So, sit back, relax. Alternative Perspective starts right now.
Sobrepasando el terror. Carpintero.
Hey, Diana, you there?
Hey there, yes,
okay,
I am.
Okay, all right. Belated. Happy Cinco de Mayo.
Muchas
okay.
Gracias.
Hey, de nada, de nada. And likewise to everybody out there in the listening audience. Okay, they're late, but I hope everybody enjoyed their Cinco de Mayo celebration. Okay, so what you got for us?
All right, I'm Diana Bagby, and here are some headlines from Southern Voice newspaper. State Representative Carla Drenner, a Democrat from Avondale Estates, won her fifth term in office at noon May 2nd as qualifying for the 2008 general election closed without either a Democrat or Republican signing up to seek her House seat in House District 86. The state Republican and Democratic parties are primaries are set for July 15th with the general election slated for November 4th. Three other openly gay people are vying for state office as well. Georgia Equality Board member and Democrat Kevin Clark of Savannah qualified for the state Senate District 2 seat. He faces two opponents in the primary. Democrat Keith Gross, 24, is taking on Representative Mike Jacobs, who switched to the Republican Party last year. And lesbian Keisha Waits has also announced her candidacy for House District 61 and is one of seven Democratic challengers in that race. In other political news, Georgia Equality, the state's largest gay lobbying group, has endorsed D. Dawkins Hagler, a political strategist and minister in the African Methodist Episcopal Church, for the May 13th special election to finish the term in House District 93. Ron Saylor formerly held that seat but was forced to resign after being caught in a federal money laundering scheme. Dawkins Hagler faces four other Democrats in that special election. And more than 2 years after the Georgia General Assembly approved a license plate aimed at increasing AIDS awareness and raising funds for AIDS Survival Project, it is yet to hit Georgia streets. AIDS Survival Project has until the end of the year to attract close to 1,000 buyers for the specialty tag in order for them to be manufactured. To date, only 21 applications for the AIDS Survival Project tag have been filled since January 1, 2007. If the tags are manufactured and sold, AIDS Survival Project would get about 10% of proceeds from sales of the license plates. And the Latin American Association recently honored Jerry Gonzalez, the gay executive director of the Georgia Association of Latino Elected Officials, for his work on Georgia immigration issues. Gonzalez won the Outstanding Community Leadership Service and Commitment Award at the 19th Annual Compañeros Awards Luncheon on April 24th. On a number of occasions, Gonzalez has talked about the difficulties gays face in the Hispanic culture. He said he received a positive reaction when he thanked his partner of 12 years during his speech at the awards luncheon. Some of his work at Galeo includes facilitating Latino voter registration and developing community leaders. He also lobbied against state English-only legislation and laws targeting illegal immigrants and others who drive without licenses. And those are just some of the headlines from Southern Voice. For more information on these stories as well as others, check us out at www.sovo.com.
Okay. Thank you so much, Diana.
All right.
See you next week.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay. And that was your local news. And we're just going to go right back over here.
Dentro en mi corazón y en mi mente, yo te quiero para siempre. Te amo más que a mi vida, Isa, por eso te regalo este canto.
This is Ghetto Gospel with the Same Gender Marriage Blast. The stage is set for the full Pennsylvania state to vote on a constitutional amendment that would outlaw same-gender marriage and civil unions in Pennsylvania. The Senate Appropriations Committee approved the measure in an 18-8 vote Monday, and officials say a vote in the full Senate is likely on Wednesday. Supporters say it will protect marriage as a union between a man and a woman and stop a judge from opening the door to civil unions between gays and lesbians. They also say it will not take away any rights such as health care benefits that gays enjoy now. Opponents say it will enshrine discrimination in the state constitution and downgrade gays to second-class citizens while threatening some of the rights they have now, such as adopting children. The Australian Capital Territory has dropped plans for legislation allowing civil unions for same-gender couples following a weekend threat by the federal government to veto the proposal. The government of Australia, Prime Minister Kevin Rudd, said that the Act bill would disregard a federal law limiting marriage to oppose same-gender couples. The law was enacted by the former Liberal government of John Howard and Labor's Rudd has refused to consider repeal. The stumbling block for Rudd appears to be a provision in the Act bill that would have allowed same-gender couples entering into civil unions to have a ceremony. A similar bill passed in 2006 was overturned by Howard. Rudd's action has earned him harsh criticism from Act Attorney General Simon Corbell, who accused Rudd of being no better than Howard. Corbell said he had attempted to reach a compromise with the federal government, but to no avail. He said that the bill will be withdrawn and rewritten to allow couples to sign a registry, but will not provide for any form of ceremony. This is Ghetto Gospel, and that's all for the Same Gender Marriage Blast.
We have a special broadcast tonight, and it is a recording, interviews by Ghetto Gospel with the protesters on Saturday night in front of the Hyatt Hotel during the HRC dinner in the protest of the stands that HRC has taken regarding Enda. So I am going to go straight into this recording, and the recording will speak for itself.
This is Ghetto Gospel with Alternative Perspectives. I would like to ask you a question, and your name?
Sir Jesse of Decatur, in fact.
Sir Jesse, you are here at the Hyatt, and may I ask you why?
HRC is having their fancy dinner, and we're protesting outside, inside, upside, downside, all over. Yeah, that's what's happening.
And what is the root of your protest?
The issue over ENDA, Employment Non-Discrimination Act. We met with Joe Somonis, the president of HRC, a couple days ago, Thursday. And he apologized for a misspeak, saying, you know, what he said at the Southern Comfort Conference in September, telling the trans community that HRC would only back an inclusive bill. 6 weeks later, everybody on the floor signed a non-inclusive or voted on a non-inclusive bill. A lot of history behind it, really a lot to just, people need to just do some homework and research to see what's going on with ENDA. But really, what we're asking tonight is that the HRC sign on the coalition for United ENDA. It's called unitedenda.com. If you go there, you'll see there's a long list of legislators and organizations that are inclusive and have an inclusive mindset. Because this issue doesn't just affect trans people, but it affects anybody who's remotely gender variant. It's about gender expression, gender identity. It's not just about transgender, transsexual, or anything like that. But it's the trans folks that have probably put Barney Frank in his place of choosing to vote on a non-inclusive bill. If you look at some of the things he said, some real transphobic things. And so I don't feel good about that. We'd like to see the HRC go ahead and join United ENDA because that's the right thing to do.
So do you think there are some positive steps besides this day to go forward, or do you see any light at the tunnel?
Of course. I mean, the way Joe broke it down to us is eventually, of course, they want an inclusive bill. He's given a long rationale as to why incremental steps are necessary. Tried to draw parallels to the Civil Rights Acts and bills of the 60s, which really just didn't fly with me because it's not really comparable. Talking about a whole group of people being deliberately left out of protective legislation that's important now. And you'd think that HRC, with human in their organization's name, would want to protect their own history, her story, and T-story around this issue, because this is the kind of thing that, you know, it will be in our queer history. And it's just not the most beloved stance for them to have.
Right. Do you feel that Joe's hands are tied, or?
I don't know. He said one thing to a community full of people, not just in Atlanta. These people came from all over the world and all over the United States to be at the Transgender Annual Conference, Southern Comfort, here in Atlanta. And, you know, Joe came and took up a lot of time talking. And I tell you, at first, when he first started talking, I was really not going to listen too close. I don't trust HRC. I haven't. They got back a little trust, putting us in their mission statement a few years ago, publishing some trans education literature and such. You know, I don't necessarily agree with everything they've got in that either, but I know there has been some effort. So I'm not saying they're not making some effort, but it's all the more undermining to be educating people about a community and then leaving them out of legislation on purpose. And really, if you go back to Barney Frank, Google Barney Frank and transgender and showers, and you'll find some interesting things that he said. And you'll see what the reason why this is so crucial in our queer history is that it was really transphobia that drove them the other direction. I don't really want to go all into particulars of what he said because it wasn't very kind. But, we can do better than that. HRC should want to do better than that. It's really a bad mark on their history from what they've done, and they shouldn't have done what they did. And now they're trying to rationalize. It's really an empty apology we received from Joe, since he's not willing to sign with UnitedEnda.com. That's the only way I could really buy back any trust right now is to know that they're signed on and they won't be going back to another mentality, any more rationalization of leaving people out. It's just not right.
Well, thank you for your comments. Wish you success.
All right, then. Thank you. Hey, Alternative Perspectives. I forgot to give a shout-out to the Feminist Outlaws with a Z Google Feminist Outlaws, and you will find some cool stuff. But that's who I'm here representing tonight, and the beloved community at large. Thank you.
Can you tell me who you are and why are you here?
My name's Jamie Roberts, and I'm a member of the transgender community of Georgia and Metro Atlanta, and I am here to ask HRC to support a trans-inclusive INDA. Right now, that legislation is pending in Congress, and just 2 weeks ago, I was happy to go to Washington, D.C. as part of National Center for Transgender Equality's Lobby Days. There are about 150 of us, and we fanned it from 26 states, and we fanned out and spoke to our respective congressional delegations. It was a pleasure for me to go and speak to my congressperson in the House of Representatives, Lynn Westmoreland's office. Of course, when you go to these things, just being a citizen lobbyist without a whole lot of cash to offer, you go into these offices and you meet with staffers. And so you're there to educate staffers. The staffers are, some are completely clueless. I found the staffers in Johnny Isaacson, who is our senator from Georgia, I found his staff to be quite knowledgeable of the subject. And they conceded that the trans community pretty much got, in their words, railroaded this last fall in the legislative session where the INDA came up for vote in the House of Representatives, and a version which did not include protections for gender identity was put forward by Barney Frank and others after it became apparent that there wasn't going to be quite enough votes to pass the gender inclusive. And so the community got the message at the time that we needed to go to Washington to talk to our representatives. That's what we're doing. And we're also out here just to ask HRC to support a trans inclusive INDA. This is an election year, it's 2008. Probably not likely to pass. Wouldn't want to force Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and Senator McCain to make a vote on this bill in the Senate. So it'll probably die a slow and quiet death towards the end of this legislative session. However, it appears that the legislation will come back better than ever in 2009. With an eye towards possible passing in 2011, I know they're counting on this election bringing in more representatives and senators who would be more inclined to vote for a trans-inclusive bill. And so right now we're just reminding HRC that we're part of this ride, and that we work hard for the community. We're very visible, and we're asking people here at the HRC there to support a United INDA.
Thank you very much for your comments.
Is that enough?
That was more than enough. Thank you. This is Alternative Perspectives, and you are?
I'm Dante.
Hey, hello, Dante. I would like to know, why are you here today?
I'm here because just the HRC has been continually uninclusive of trans people, and it just seems like they always keep coming up with like really lame excuses of why they're not including trans people and why they're not jumping on the inclusion bill and joining partners with INDA. As long as they include transgender in their mission statement, transgender people should be included in what they're fighting for.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
and welcome to Pride in Politics, where the personal is political. Coming off the heels of National Poetry Month and looking ahead to June's Black Music Month, we're discussing the power of words with L. Lamar Wilson. Mr. Wilson is currently the Alfred E. Nobler Fellow at Virginia Tech University, where he is pursuing his Master of Arts, a fine arts degree at the campus. Lamar, thank you for joining us tonight.
Hi, thanks, Henry. How are you?
Good, good to be with you. We were just talking about the power of words, and as you know, great artists have a remarkable ability to speak truth to power. Talk to us about the tradition of Black writers who have dared to lift their voices in the struggle for social change.
Well, since 1619, when Africans were forcibly brought to America, they have been, their language has been controlled. The attempt to control their language has been done. And so at first, that was done through trying to prevent them from learning the English language. And of course, that wasn't possible. So we have people like Phyllis Wheatley and Oladu Equiano, Jupiter Ham, Lucy Terry. These were people who not only learned English, but mastered it and used it in ways that they were able to have their voices heard. But as you know, they were still controlled by slave owners who abused them, who controlled what they said. Throughout the 19th century, we had people like Frederick Douglass to emerge, people like Harriet Jacobs, who wrote their stories of oppression and slavery. And so eventually, through the Civil War, and the emancipation was gained. But we still had, in freedom, there still was no freedom, particularly for Black people in the South. So after leaving the sharecropping South, we had writers and who came to the North, whose families had moved to the North. And we had what was now known as the greatest flowering of art, creativity, that has occurred in America, that is popularly known as the Harlem Renaissance. And we had voices like Langston Hughes and Zora Neale Hurston, so many of them who emerged, who for the first time were daring in the North, in cities like Harlem and Chicago, Washington, D.C., with a little bit more freedom to express what was going on in the South from in the voices of these people. What was considered broken English, there was beauty shown in the humanity of these people who had been oppressed. And so that language, again, is giving them power and more access to tell their stories and to be heard. And so eventually we move into the mid-20th century, where there's a movement of change that people are tired of being oppressed. And so we had an arts movement that is popularly known as the Black Arts Movement that was a sister to, of course, the Black Power Movement. And so no more is there holding back of anger, because, you know, a lot of what was written about before was joy and celebration in spite of the oppression. And so with the Black Power Movement, with people like Nikki Giovanni and Sonia Sanchez and Amiri Baraka, who was really the leader of that movement, you had Black people writing about their anger, about being oppressed. So through that movement of anger emerged what is now taken over America, and inspired so many voices of today, in the hip-hop movement that is now so pervasive. So words have always been, words and music blended together have always been the way that Black people spoke out about their lives and told their stories.
And you talk about how the art forms have changed. You recently won the Emily Morrison Prize in Creative Writing at Virginia Tech for your work. What specifically does your work try to inform readers of?
I'm a lover of music. I'm a lover of artists from the Black Arts Movement. not only the poets who emerged, but also the musicians. And so the poem, one of the poems for which I received the prize, is a tribute to Nina Simone, called A Prayer for the Expatriate. It's a sonnet, so I use a traditional English form, anglicized, I should say, form, and try to subvert the form and make it do things that it wouldn't normally do. So that's what I did with my poem.
We know that, like you said, music and art have a particular way to almost, while people are kind of talking about and speaking truth to power, there is also this neutral zone that makes some of it a little bit more palatable for some people than just having a heart on head-on conversation about race or about oppression or about those things. How does your work kind of walk that line between activism and art?
Well, I try not to think about the line as I'm writing. I try not to be controlled by the line. More than anything, I'm trying to speak truthfully about the subject I'm writing. So if there's anger in that, I don't hold it back. If there's joy, if there's deep sorrow, that has to be on the page. So for me, it's more about the authenticity of the moment that I'm creating, that I'm concerned about, particularly inspired by the Black Arts Movement. I mean, I can't say some of the things, I don't feel comfortable saying some of the things that were written down, but I mean, one of the definition of black art by Amiri Baraka in his famous poem, words that have teeth, words that kill. You know, these are the things that were emerging at that time. But of course, when Phyllis Wheatley was writing, or Lucy Terry was writing, Phyllis Wheatley knew that Christianity was being taught to her and that she was expected to show that she had become a good Christian. So she wrote about how she was saved from her, black darkness of Africa. So, of course, these people are controlled by the publishers who are around them. I think that we today have a lot more freedom to really, let the words be what they are. Unfortunately, we're still sort of taking on the likeness of the oppressors with each other sometimes. And, of course, what's popular on the radio isn't always giving positive, feedback to our young people that can produce the kind of social change that we will want for our communities.
And it's interesting that you say that there is more freedom, being that Alternative Perspectives focuses on LGBT rights and issues. Are we seeing more diversity in terms of literature and poetry speaking to the affirmation and experience of gays and lesbians of color?
Yes. I am a literary descendant of Richard Bruce Nugent, who emerged during the Harlem Renaissance, and Langston Hughes, who was a bisexual man, who wrote in the voice of men and women and of loving men and women. So I think that as a result of that, so many of my friends who are gay and lesbian, who are writing, we feel not only the freedom, but the authority and the pressure. We're expected now to speak. We don't have any excuse not to speak. We can't be in hiding anymore. Essex Hemphill died writing about these things, and so I'm alive, and I have to continue to tell my truth and tell my story and the stories of the people that I love and know, because that's what I'm charged to do.
And as we move into the future in our remaining seconds, what's up for you next? This is a busy time in terms of literary workshops and things that can feed the writer's soul.
This summer I'll be attending a couple of workshops so far that I have been admitted to. One is called Callaloo. It's a journal that's been around for about 30, 35 years maybe. The primary literary journal for African-American writers, and I've just been accepted into the Cave Canem workshop, which is the premier workshop for emerging African-American writers.
Well, congratulations. We wish you continued success, and we thank you for joining us on this edition of Pride in Politics, where the personal is political. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you, Andre, for your Pride in Politics segment. Thank you. And now we're going to go right into our She Speaks segment with your host, or hostess, LaCara Foster.
What's up, Atlanta and surrounding areas? This is She Speaks, and I'm your host, LaCara Foster. And today, our show is entitled Uniting or Backbiting, and we're going to be looking at promoters in the lesbian community and what's really going on our scene. I have two guests that are in the studio with me today, and I have a guest that should be calling in any minute now. My guests in the studio, I'm going to tell you their names, and they're going to tell you a little bit about the venues that they represent. I have with me Shay Johnson, and I have with me the infamous DJ E, and hopefully Gorgeous will be calling in any moment now. So we're gonna start with you, Shay. You've been around a little while. You are seasoned, as you like to say. Tell us a little bit about the venue that you represent.
Well, the event that I put on is the All Lesbian Erotic Poetry and Live Music, and it is geared towards the more seasoned and alluring women in the community.
Okay.
And the reason that I say that is because myself, I'm one of the women who want to be able to venture out and go to an event where I can have a seat and be entertained for the evening.
Okay.
And so that's how I came up with the Erotically Speaking. Come have a seat, enjoy the show, the live music, and just get some great quality entertainment.
Okay. And I'm kind of doing both tonight. I'm kind of doing the host and also a promoter because I host the Brown Sugar Vibe, and my venue is a little bit different in that we both kind of do spoken word. Yours is erotically speaking. It's called that for a reason. And mine is looking at it from a very broad base. And we have live music and we have poets that come in from all over the Atlanta area.
Your guest is on the phone.
Ah, hey there, Gorgeous.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm fine.
Thank you for calling into She Speaks. Well, since I have you on the phone, tell our audience your name and the venue that you represent.
I'm Gorgeous, and my venue is Over the Edge every Monday night, Edgewood and Boulevard. And the Monday nights, we call it Pandora Spot.
Okay. And tell us a little bit about the audience that you serve.
The audience that I put in for Monday is a laid-back, grown and sexy, more comfortable, cozy crowd, more intimate.
Okay. Cool. And then we have the infamous DJ E, and the perspective that she's going to get as we get into the conversation is one, because DJ E actually, she actually DJs all of our events, now that I think
yes,
about
she
it,
does.
As well as a host of others around the city. And she gets to work with a lot of the different promoters. And so we definitely want to kind of get her input on that. And as I ask the questions, I'm there for all of you guys, and you guys can jump in as you will. One of the things, and Betty and I have talked about this before, is there are a lot of promoters that are coming in on the scene, and we kind of want to know, like, what's going on. Like, you know, everybody's kind of jumping on the scene right now. Tell me why you think your event is important to the community. We'll start with you, Gorgeous.
I think my event is important to the community because I'm catered more to the upcoming artists. There's a lot of lesbian artists that's coming out with music, spoken word. We do open mic, more so catered to music. And I think it's more so...
You're breaking up on us, Gorgeous.
I'm sorry about that. I feel like my venue is support the movement as far as my fashion shows, because I produce fashion shows and the music industry. We have a lot of lesbians that are coming out with music and that are designers and produce different types of quality materials. And it's not on the heterosexual thing. They're not really trying to deal with you and support the movement, and that's what I'm here for, to open that door to the music industry and to the fashion scene.
That is absolutely awesome. And I did get an opportunity to attend your fashion show, and it was off the chain. Just let me go ahead and say that.
Yeah.
The designers were absolutely awesome. And tell us a little bit about the upcoming artists, because I did get to see some of the ladies that perform, and they were performing hip-hop. Who were some of those artists that were at your show?
We have Fiona Simone, whose CD is out right now, called The Ladies' Room.
Okay.
We also have Mary Jane.
Okay.
She's an upcoming artist. Muffy, which is a good upcoming artist. She's actually a pop artist.
Okay, so your event is definitely bringing out the music scene for the up-and-coming artists, and we can definitely appreciate that. Shay, why is your event important to the lesbian community?
Well, definitely, as I said before, it is for the geared towards the 30 and older, those of us who are ready to go and see quality entertainment and just to go and have a nice time. And the importance of that is the fact that it is during the week, and you know, we want to go out and we want to be entertained, but we don't want to be out all night long. You know, we're getting older, you know, and I just can't do the 2, 3, 4 in the morning.
Okay, cool. So we have something for everybody here. E, let's go to you. You get an opportunity to work with all of these beautiful ladies in the community. Tell us what some of your experience has been. I know that, and I'm going to talk a little bit more to our promoters about this, and you and I have had this conversation as far as this business can be very cutthroat.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I could say that the one thing that I see more of than anything is that there's a lot less trust in this community, and it shouldn't be, because we're all in this together. For one, we've already got the chips stacked against us, being lesbian, most of the women being black, and just being women in general. So that makes it kind of rough. But what I see is that we can't seem to come together. There's a lot of people stealing ideas, and people, you know, they see each other as competition, and we shouldn't look at each other like that, because really there is no competition. You know what I mean? There's enough for everyone. So I don't see why we all can't just get along. It just,
let me, and with you saying that, let me go to Betty here, and I don't know if she knew she was about to join in on this conversation.
No, I didn't know that.
And because we've had this conversation before, and I know, Betty, you've done your thing a couple of years back in terms of promoting. And so you've kind of stayed on the scene. You've never disappeared from the scene. What do you think?
Well, off and on. I'm more known as a social activist now than a promoter.
Okay.
But that was where I started. That's my roots.
Right.
And I got to know the community that way.
What have you seen, because you kind of come out and you go to these different events and you still interact with some of the promoters. What, you know, E says that there seems to be a lot less trust. Is that something that you see is a lot less trust now, or do you think it's kind of always been that
it's
way?
It's always been there.
Okay.
The competition between the promoters.
Okay.
And my whole thing is asking the question is, why don't you collaborate?
Yeah, I agree.
Because
that's,
as a social activist, this is what we do with organizations. We collaborate, because that's how we get things done. You know, you can't get anything done by yourself.
Okay.
And if you collaborate, you have a lot of talent. You know, I'm hearing that there's a lot of talent on your young lady on the phone.
Right.
Okay. And you're catering to the older crowd, but yet you have a fashion show. Are these fashion shows original fashion shows? I mean, people who create fashion.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know. Okay. So now you have an older crowd that might be established and has an income, who would be able to purchase. Okay, so, I mean, why not collaborate to improve circumstances for everybody? You know, you have to look at, you know, how is it that everybody can benefit from, you know, and what are the resources that you all have, and then how do you share those resources and still do your own thing?
Right.
You know what I mean? It doesn't take away from what you personally are doing, okay, but it helps everybody in general, okay, and
well,
that's my whole thing.
Let me ask this, Gorgeous and Shane, you guys can both excuse me, both answer this. Do you guys collaborate with other promoters, other artists, kind of in doing your thing? And what is your experience been?
Yes, I do collaborate, actually. Okay. With yourself, LaCara.
Right.
Foster, and I also collaborate with DJ E, and I've also collaborated with Meek, who is one of our poets in the community, who does different shows on her own. And it has worked very well. And at the show, we also promote other events. And we constantly send out emails and support other organizations within the community. And we also give back to ITLA and support the things that they do.
Awesome. At End of Life Atlanta?
Yes.
For those that, for those out there listening that don't know what ITLA is, it's End of Life Atlanta, which puts on the Black Pride here in Atlanta. Right.
Gorgeous, are you still there with us?
Yes, I'm here.
What are some of the ways that you've collaborated with other people?
Well, I would love to collaborate with other promoters, but like DJ E said earlier, the trust issue is a big factor right now, especially since we've been a new club promoter.
Okay.
I have tried to mix ideas with other promoters and see can we get something going, because I'm full for the movement. I feel like this is a full force that we all have to take hold on to, because if we keep fighting and bumping heads, no one will make it nowhere.
Right.
So, you know, but it has been like a stab in the back situation. Like, I told you something I wanted to do, and then you did it before I did.
Well,
you know, I do leave doors open for anyone to come in and leave flyers.
Right.
Or if she speak, come in and leave flyers. And I pass those flyers out the next Monday, and I have to eat and make sure she announced it.
Right. And as we kind of talked about it being cutthroat, like, what has been, without naming names or identifying kind of situations, what has been, like, some of your experiences? Because, I mean, as he said, there is a lack of trust there. But what has contributed, you know, to that lack of trust? Gorgeous, let's start with you, since you kind of said, yeah, that does go on.
Well, I think because E is like the mover on the let's come together, let's do something together. And, you know, I have let down my guard a little by calling other promoters, like, well, I have this big idea and I think we should go in together. I think your team and my team would be good with this venue. And I have had DJ to repeat it back to me as if it was somebody else's idea.
Wow. Wow.
You know, and that's a huge trust factor, because I'm like, I'm letting you into my thoughts, I'm letting you into my creativity so we can do something together. And you know, it's a big trust issue.
It's just, I think really is really difficult when you do come up with different ideas. But I think what has to happen is at some point we have to set aside our own egos and say, okay, I came up with this idea, but even if you came up with, let's still just do it together and let's all just work together and make this really big. I think that's the difference I see with what Shay does as opposed to some of the other promoters that I work with, is at every time at her event, you know, she's promoting everybody.
Right.
And not just parties, but people's businesses. I told my girlfriend Sunshine, I told her, I said, you have to come to Erotically Speaking, because you may not enjoy the poetry and it may not be your thing, but one thing it definitely is like an opportunity to network like no other.
Right.
Because you're talking about women in our community who, like Betty said, are established, have the income, they're people you can actually look at as professionals. And to me, if we can do that on other scales, you know, with other venues and other parties that we do, that's what it should be about, that where we all come together for one common goal as women, just as women in general.
All right, you have a caller.
Okay.
Caller, identify yourself, please.
Hey, I'm Lex from Two Studs Productions.
Lex, what's up?
All right. Okay, you want to make a comment?
Yeah, on the whole working together.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, we all do. I mean, we all been trying to get together. But I think the whole issue is honestly, just females.
Wow.
Now, females are always going to have that trust issue with each other, regardless of us all trying to work together, because females in general have a, you know what I'm saying, don't trust each other like they should.
Okay.
And now we all sit there and we talk about it, like we had got into this about 2 months ago starting it, and everyone came with good ideas, but then I noticed as time went on, it was like high school again. Everyone's bickering, everyone has an attitude made with the next one about something because they feel like someone said something wrong. Instead of just being adult about the situation, it's just letting business be business. You know, you can't be a friend with every promoter.
Right.
Sometimes you have to conduct business. I mean,
right. Sometimes it's not personal.
Exactly.
Most times it's not personal, it's business. So what would you say would be, how could we remedy that situation? Knowing, yeah, we're women and we're catty and sometimes we're petty. I mean, we know that about ourselves, but how can we remedy the situation? And then I have a follow-up question to that.
Separate business from friendship. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You got to know, like, going into this, everyone's not going to be your friend. you can't trust everyone. It's like at your job, like your 9-to-5. You may not like it, but you know this is your job. It's how you pay your bills.
Okay.
Certain things you have to just look past and deal with. You know, certain people attitudes I may not care for, but at the end, we're all after the same goal.
Right.
And if we're after the same goal, then I don't see why we need to bicker and fight about it, because if I'm bickering with you and you're bickering with me, we're not going to accomplish anything. We're all going to be on the same page. We're still going to be struggling. Still going to be trying to get people into your venue.
Right.
And no one's going to get anywhere. And then at the end, we're going to be back at our 9-to-5s, haven't accomplished anything. So I feel like we just need to not try to make friends out of everyone. You know, sit down on a business level, discuss. I mean,
sign
like,
contracts.
Exactly.
If you have an idea,
you have an idea. But just like you know with anybody, you can't go and tell your idea to everyone, expect everyone. You can't trust everybody with everything. Now, if you have a great idea, tell them the bare minimum of the idea. You don't have to, you know, kind of put something in their ear, see if they're interested. But you can't just jump into this like, okay, we're going to split this 50-50, and they run off and do it and be mad, because that's kind of how business works. It's like if you create something, you don't have a patent on it. You don't own this idea. You don't know if they thought about it first. You just came to them first about it.
Mm.
You can't really get mad. You have to look past that.
Okay, well, thank you, Lex. Thanks for calling in with your comment. I do appreciate you listening.
No problem. Thank you.
All righty.
All right.
Well, she brought up a very interesting subject, a very interesting topic. She kind of brought the girl factor in there. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you guys this. You know, I do see that with the girls, we kind of have a lot of little parties. We have a lot of little, parties here. But then the guys have like this huge thing, this huge, massive thing going on where they may have a party and they got like 500, 600, 700 guys there. When it comes to men, like are men like better at this than us?
I think women are just so fickle and so man, it's so difficult to get a woman to come out every week. And I think in the lesbian community it's even more difficult because you're asking them to spend money, you're asking them to drink, you're asking them to party and stay out a little late. And then a lot of times these women have families, they have kids they have to take care of, you know, they have things like that. So it's just
it's a different
difficult.
Dynamic.
It is totally whereas with men, because even in the gay for gay men, if you notice, they will party every day of the week. I mean, if I was to DJ for gay men,
that's
I would
historical.
DJ every day.
That's been always.
Yeah, it's, that's how it is. And they don't worry about stuff like this. You know, women, I don't know what it is. I really couldn't tell you.
Well, I was going to ask you this question, but I'm gonna get back to you on that question. What do you guys think? We brought the girl factor in, and we've kind of been on this thing for a while now. Are guys better at us than this in terms of coming together and instead of having these little parties, they're having these big, huge parties?
Well, I mean, it has been proven that their parties do go off very well. But I know I can only really speak for myself. I put a lot of effort in speaking to the women that come out to the event. I put a lot of effort in building relationships. I just put a lot of effort in making everyone that walks through that door feel special and to let them know that they are appreciated and that they are a part of this community.
Okay.
And that is my strive each and every time I have an event.
Okay, what about you, Gorgeous?
Yes, I think the guys are more successful because they're more business-minded. Like, everything is strictly business, and what's personal is what's personal. And I do feel, we're going back to where the caller came in, Lex, that if you take things more business, then I think we'll be a whole lot more successful.
Okay. One of the issues, and I totally forgot what I wanted to come back to you with, but I'm going to think about that.
See
for
how
a
you
second.
Do me.
Oh, I know what I wanted to say, because I know you've been around. E actually used to work up here at WRFG.
Sure did.
As a DJ. And yeah, she walked in and she's like, wow, things have changed.
Yeah.
you know the old boarding then, huh?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's only been about 4 years that we've
they
had.
They stepped the game up. That's just up.
We had a few donations from the labor unions, in fact.
That's what's up. It's about time.
Yeah, which is great. You know, community-supported radio station, you know that, you know?
That's what's up, yeah.
Okay, cool.
So I said that to say, because I know, Shay, you've been around doing these promotion things, and you kind of told me how you got your start, and I know you've done a lot of things with In the Life Atlanta, as well as your Gemini 2 Productions, and so you've kind of been doing this for at least 5 years, you said, and you've been on the scene for quite a while.
Yeah, long time.
What's the key to longevity in this business?
Well, for me, I would say what sets myself apart, I think, is that, like Shay said, I build relationships with people. I treat everybody the same. Mm-hmm. You'll never see me, you know, you'll never see me treat somebody differently. I mean, unless I really don't care for them, because I don't know how to be fake about that. But, and I deal with people's energy. I go off energy. If you have good energy, then I definitely want to work with you. I don't care what anybody else is doing. I don't care what,
right.
you know, how big your crowd is. You know, that's something when you and I started,
right.
I just wanted to do it because it felt good. And I didn't care whether you know, how much you could pay me or all that stuff. You know what I mean? But that's how I am. And I can say for me that works well because it keeps me sane and it keeps me from wanting to just be like, forget this. I don't want to do this anymore. But because I'm doing it because I love it and because I'm surrounding myself with people who I feel good energy with.
Right.
You know, I've separated myself from those who I didn't, the energy was bad, so I separated myself from them, so that's keeping me going.
Okay. So then it is a little bit personal, too,
I think,
as well as business.
It is, yeah. Some things may turn out to be personal. For me, there in right. the past, yeah, I've had a couple of issues, but I knew how to step out of that and just say, you know what, this is what I really want to do. I want to do something where I can get up every day and say, you know, I'm glad I got to go do the Brown Sugar Vibe. I'm glad I gotta go do Pandora's Box. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's how I am.
But you're not just a DJ. You do more than just
DJ. Well, no.
DJing is just a DJing small part is, of what you
yeah,
do.
Yeah, DJing is just, I actually do that because that's what I love. It's what I started. But I'm actually a sound engineer, so I actually have a real a real job. But I own my own company doing that. So that's you know, me.
All right, cool beans. That's awesome. And Shay, you've been doing this for about 5 years. What would you say the key to longevity is?
The key for me is keeping it real.
Okay.
And being honest with people and showing people that you do appreciate them when they show up.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Gorgeous.
Yes.
We have two veterans here with us that's talking. Well, actually, three veterans here with us, mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of talking about four. Oh, actually, we got a studio full of veterans here.
That's right.
So this is, you're taking notes. So this is your opportunity. If you, because I know that you've been doing this since about February and you've been very successful at it because a lot of time, I know my Brown Sugar Vibe is once a month, the second Sunday of every month. Shay's doing her thing on the last Wednesday of every month. You do it every week. That's a difficult task to come up with a different theme because not only does she do it every week, but every week it's almost a different theme. Yesterday we walked in and there was sombreros and all of these decorations.
Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, and she's excited about it. So, I mean, how do you keep that enthusiasm going every week? And congratulations on being able to do this from week to week, and you've done a very successful job at it. Do you have any questions about longevity as far as that's concerned from any of our veterans in the studio?
Well, I'm not really sure who just said it, but the last person who spoke saying being real and showing your appreciation, this is my passion. This is what I love to do. I go to school for this. I love it. So I feel like since it is my passion, it's a little bit more natural, and I can be real about it, and I can be honest, and I can show my appreciation. Like, I think sometimes I get on DJ E! Nerves, like, E! Are you good?
I think we all
thing.
Do that.
Look. I do the same thing.
You know, so that's the only thing I really could do right now is just be honest and be sweet and really be sincere about every single thing that I do.
Okay. Well, and I did have a question that I wanted to tell me. Oh, with each of you guys, with the things that you guys have experienced, because we've kind of all experienced dealing with some shadiness, if you will, what would you guys like to see happen more of in the community with each of your respective projects? Like, what would be the next ideal thing for you guys as you go forward? And you know, maybe if some other promoter is listening, they can call in, get your number, and say, hey, I want to do that too. Let's start with you, DJ E. What you got going on?
Well, I can speak from two different spectrums, from mm-hmm. the DJing spectrum as well as promoting, because I've done the promoting thing too. But as far as the DJs, there's not many female DJs out here actually doing it, and I would love for all of us to be able to come together. And it's just as difficult as it is for the female promoters. Female DJs are just as competitive and just as, you know, fickle and picky. But I would love for that to happen. As far as the promoters, if we could all set aside our egos and just say, hey, this is, let's do something for the lesbian community.
Okay.
Let's just do something for the, it doesn't have to be a weekly thing. It could happen just one time, but it can make such a huge difference. I think what people don't realize is that there are a lot of younger girls coming up who are coming out very early, and they're looking at us and they're seeing how we're acting, and they watch us, and a lot of them emulate us. And we gotta step our game up. You know what I mean? We gotta take that responsibility.
Yeah, I just want to say something on that point is that if when you do things together, okay, you do it good, fame comes with it.
Mm.
Okay, it's unavoidable. All right, so if that's what you're looking for, it will come. It comes, you know, when you're doing the activism,
right,
and you're working for the community. And when you join up with other activists and you do something great, it's recognized, okay? And the same thing happens in the promotion stuff. You know, fame comes along with doing a good job, you know, and doing it for the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, for me, I definitely have always kind of envisioned a lot of the promoters coming together and having the big concert for the gay community.
That's right.
You know, I mean, because of all of the talent that is amongst each promoter, it is no reason why we could not sell out the Fox or sell out Phillips Arena or anything like that. I mean, other people come to our city and put on some of the biggest shows. Why can't we do it for ourselves and have them come here?
Wow. Awesome.
And that's one of my visions.
What about you, Gorgeous?
I'm so glad that she said that about the concert. I have had that in the vision. But, of course, I want to interact fashion because that's my passion. But I would really like to do really big concerts and really big fashion shows. Like, Atlanta lacks in the fashion area, period. There's a lot of trendsetters here, but no one is displaying fashion periodically on stage. So I would like to have a really, really big concert that interacts fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And you did the body art. I know who that Shane who did the body art?
Yeah.
Yes.
Last Wednesday, right. That was so sexy.
Thank you.
Super sexy. I would like to see everybody's ideas just come together in one big display.
Right. I would definitely have to agree with that. Well, we're going to wrap up with She Speaks here. I have to thank Betty for allowing us to do this segment once a month. And I have to thank my guest for joining us. And, of course, Gorgeous, again, is at Over the Edge every single Monday night. Awesome, phenomenal thing that she puts on. And Shay is at Cat's Cafe with Erotically Speaking the last Wednesday of every month. I'm the Brown Sugar Vibe. And this month, we're going to actually be taped and it's going to be on television with Comcast Channel 24. So, yeah, anybody that wants to come on and join us for, on the television. And
you all have websites?
Yes.
I'll give you your websites?
Mine is myspace.com/Gemini2Productions.
And mine is myspace/Lakara, L-A-K-A-R-A, Foster.
Oh, I'm myspace. .com. Gosh, I don't really even know my mic.
That's funny.
It's a deco.
It's Attic Pro. Attic Pro. ADDECKPRO.
And our young lady on the phone?
Mine is myspace.com/ Punks and Pearls. And Punks and Pearls is PUNKANDPEARLZ.
Right. And I got to thank DJ E for coming through. Always so patient with us. And you can find her everywhere in Atlanta, not just at all the events we just named.
Cool beans. And if you want to hear a podcast of this show by Friday night, I'll have it up.
All right.
You can get that at Betlear. That's BETLEAR.podomatic. PODOMATIC.com. And it's also the podcast for the recording on the protest is also there already.
Awesome.
So if you want to rehear that, you can go up there and hear that. Okay. It's just about that time to say goodnight again. And I want to thank Lakara. I want to thank her guest. Thank Dion and Ghetto Gospel. Andre is gone. We had the whole team here tonight. It's awesome. You know, and until next week. Good night. Buenas noches.
Good night.